I'm going to eventually turn to 2 Corinthians 5 if you want to turn there. But just let me give a quick recap of what happened really at Jesus' death and resurrection. Because you know the physical part of it. The physical part, you know he was whipped, he was beaten, you know he was poked. You know that they put a crown of thorns. You know the mob was after him. You know they were hitting him and spitting on him and making fun of him. You know the humiliation he went through. You could see that if you were there, you could have seen the death. You could have seen the blood. You could have seen the physical side of things. But what you can't see in the physical part is that behind the scenes, justice was being carried out. Behind the scenes, justice was beginning its work for your soul and my soul, for your life and my life. So much happened behind the scenes you can't see. So above ground, it's pretty clear. Above ground, you know, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Above ground, you see Peter denying Christ. Above ground, you see everybody crying. Above ground, you see Peter crying. Above ground, Peter probably went fishing. Above ground, all the disciples fled from him when he was on the cross. Above ground, it was one thing, but below ground, or we could say behind the scenes, something was happening.
Yes.
The claims of justice were being satisfied.
Yes.
Legal grounds for your redemption were happening. And so what you have to recall is that on the cross, sure, he was beaten. Sure, he died. But many people have died. Many people have been crucified. What you can't see, and this is where any movie that you watch of Jesus at the end, any movie you watch cannot depict what was happening in the spirit. You can see the physical, but it's more than that. Much more than that.
More.
I mean, everything is actually in the spirit side.
Yes.
It's not just the physical beating. It's in the spiritual side. God decided, and it says it pleased God to bruise Christ.
Yes.
And the Bible says that he laid on him the iniquity of us all. In the spirit, he put all of your sins and immorality on Jesus.
Yes.
In that moment.
Amen.
Galatians 3:13 says that we are redeemed from the curse. Because as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. It says Christ has become a curse for us. He became a curse? Yes. God put the sins of the world on him, and that was the curse. All the punishment for all the sins you and I deserved were put on Jesus. And he was called a curse. You can't really see that in the physical. God made his soul an offering for our sins. So what I want you to see today is the exchange that was made. He became sin. He became curse. He became bruised with all of our immorality so that we could become righteous. So that we could become holy, so that we could become victors. He was killed so we could live, not just physically. God put all the dirt of you and I on him so you could be clean. So there's an exchange made. We call it identification. He became what we were so we could become what he was, or we could become who he is. So he became like us so we could become like him. And in the end, it says, when we see him, we will be like him. So rather than this whole thing being just an event on a calendar that we say, yep, that was a great story. No. It was a historical event that actually has living, dynamic reality for you and I today.
Amen.
If you know it. If you understand it, you can have faith in it and you can partake of all the rights and privileges that he bought for us. You can have the inheritance if you know it. If you don't know what this means for you, you can't have it. You'll go to heaven because you believe in him, but you won't have anything in the earth to glorify God with. It'll be a desperate walk. The Christian life without knowing the Bible is a desperate walk. So you got to learn. You got to get saved. Then you got to learn the Bible so that you can understand and tap into this reality of God's power. Resurrection power can be ours. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And if he does, something's going to happen. If the resurrection power that raised him from the dead, Romans 8:11, dwells in us, I ain't afraid of nothing. If that's true, you don't scare me. Nothing scares me. If there's power in me from God, I can relax. I don't got to fight people. I don't got to be upset about everything. God will work through me to handle things. He'll do things on my behalf. So we're going to just see a few things today as fast as we possibly can so that your kids can get the candy. Glory. 2 Corinthians 5. We'll read verse 17, but I really want to get to 21. 17 is a good scripture for us. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See the exchange? God made him, Jesus, to be sin. Not only did he put the sins on him, he actually turned him into sin. He who knew no sin, he was perfect and innocent, yet God put it all on him and called him sin. So that you and I could be called righteousness of God. So when you get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, I'm the righteousness of God. It may be hard to say the first couple times. You need to realize you're not some old dirty sinner. You were, but now he cleaned you, and now he calls you the righteousness of God in Christ. Wow. I don't care how many gray hairs you have. Just look at yourself and say, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't care if you don't have any hair. You can still look in the mirror and glorify God for making you righteous. We know you're not perfect. He's not talking about perfect. Righteousness doesn't mean perfect. It means that you have a standing with God where he allows you in at any moment. You have a relationship with God. He calls you righteous. Woo! Glory. So remember on the cross, Jesus said these words. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the moment we believe. It just seems like that's when God probably put all this immorality on him and all the sickness and disease, all the destruction that we deserve. That's the moment he put it on him and Jesus felt it. He's like, what happened? He did it for us. He went through that very strange and shocking moment where he had to partake of our sin. Wow. Praise the Lord. But he was our substitute. It's hard to grasp. It's hard to grasp with your mind. Only our spirits can really grasp this. So as you hear these truths, just let your heart ring true about it and say yes to it, because your mind can't understand some of this invisible behind-the-scenes stuff. And that's why the movies never go far enough. The movies never explain exactly what's happening. So people get kind of attached and connected to the natural side. There's a whole lot more in there. Praise the Lord. So then we get to the resurrection, the victory, the ascension. He rose from the dead. He destroyed the devil. He defeated death. Jesus said, I am he that liveth. Well, that's King James. Let me say it the holy way. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. That's what Jesus said of himself. And then he said, I have the keys of hell and death. He defeated death, took the keys. He's alive forevermore. He's got some power, and then he gave it to the church. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now you go, therefore, in my name, you do the stuff that needs to be done. That means you do the soul saving. We know that God saves the soul. We know that God does the invisible work, but not if your feet don't do the walking, not if your mouth doesn't do the talking. And that's how easy it is. Your feet, just make your feet walk to a sinner, make your mouth open, and he'll do the work for you. Glory. Hallelujah. Colossians 2 says that he disarmed in hell, he disarmed principalities and powers. And then it says he made a public spectacle of them. In hell, the devil thought he killed him. He rose up. He made fun of the devil and his demons, made a public spectacle in the spirit realm of the destruction of Satan. Hebrews says he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. We know 1 John says that the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Well, sin, temptation, guilt, depression, oppression, demonic possession, sickness, disease, destruction, tragedy, hate, anger, blasphemy. Everything you can imagine, Jesus destroyed the power of that. For you and I to be free from all of that, all it takes is you to step in that truth.
Yeah.
That's all it takes is for you to say,
yes.
Yes. And you can be free from all the darkness, all the sin, all the destruction, all the sickness, all the problems and suffering that this world can offer. The only suffering you and I should partake of is Christ's sufferings. What did he suffer with? Well, he was never sick. He never sinned. You don't have to suffer with sin or sickness. He never broke his leg. He never had his ear amputated. You don't have to do any of that. The only suffering he partook of was persecution for the gospel's sake. Everybody who lives godly will suffer persecution. You will suffer as a Christian because of the separation that it requires for you to live holy to God. Other people aren't going to like it. You might lose a couple friends. That's painful. You might have to watch other people sin and destroy their lives and you can't help them. That's painful. Jesus does that every day with us. He watches us make stupid mistakes. So once you get with him, it's like you feel the pain that he's feeling. That's the sufferings of Christ. But you don't have to die early. You don't have to die before you're finished on this earth with the will of God. And you don't have to die of sickness and disease. You don't have to live with depression anymore. You don't have to give in to anger anymore. You don't have to be hopeless anymore. Hallelujah. Come on, some of us tapped in and found some truth. Some of us tapped in, found some answers for life. Glory to God. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're not going to read our normal 45 scriptures today, just a couple. Okay, so he rose from the dead. He defeated the devil. He rose victorious. He got seated at the right hand of the Father. And then now let's identify with him. Because what he wants to do is show you how not only do we admit that he's the Son of God and want him to be our Lord, we actually get engrafted into him. We actually become one with him. We're in union with his spirit. Jesus prayed that to the Father. He said, let them be one in us. I in them and them in me and I in you and them in you. And we're all together one in Christ. And there's something very powerful that takes place whenever you can unite with him and identify with him. What do you mean identify? Not just a name, not just a badge, not just a thought of his name or of his person, but let's imagine ourselves, like the Bible says, being buried with him and risen with him. And that's the symbol of water baptism. You go under the water showing the death and burial, but then you come up out of the, hope you come up out. You come up out of the water risen. That's the identification symbol of you dying and being resurrected with him. So you're supposed to leave the old man under the water and rise up new. Praise the Lord. Romans 6, I'll just quote these to you. Romans 6, 8 says, if we died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him. He goes on to say, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's not talking about just future resurrection for us. Just like Christ was raised from the dead, we're supposed to walk in newness. So when you get born again, you're supposed to be new. We already read that. You're a new creature in Christ. You can keep your personality, but you got to drop the bad language. You can keep some of your personality, but you got to start transitioning into some holy character. You've noticed that, right? Praise the Lord. Galatians 2:20, Paul said this. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Have you ever felt that way? Christians are supposed to feel this way. Paul was a great example of a Christian. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Yet I still live. Yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You have to go through that transition where you realize, you know what? I'm kind of just living for Jesus now. I'm kind of just letting his life live through me. I'm living, but really it's not really me living. It's him living through me. I'm living by faith in him. It's like, I don't know, shouldn't I have my own life? No. But if I give all myself to him, then where's me? You're gone. You're under the water. You're fulfilling what he said in when he was on the earth. He said, you must lose your life to have life. He that finds his life will lose it. He that loses his life for my sake will find it. You have to lose your life, oh, then you get real life. If you feel like you're a believer in Christ, but you're not really experiencing much of Jesus, it's only because you haven't given him fully your life. Just give him 100% of your life and watch what happens. 100%? Can I keep something? No, you can't keep anything. Especially if you're asking. Colossians 3 says something similar. He said, you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. Listen, if you'll do this, you died to sin and you died to the old person and now your life is hid. You ever felt like sometimes that the devil's after you and he's always chasing you and stuff's happening and all sorts of bad stuff's happening? It's like, look, if you're in Christ, you're hidden from the devil. God can see you, but the devil can't even see you. You're hidden in Christ. Why don't you live that way? People say all the time, well, the devil's been after me. Oh, all hell's broken loose. Listen, if you're in Christ, you're hidden, can't touch this. Live your life like that. You can't touch, I'm hidden. You see the devil coming? He ain't gonna see me. I'll just stand right here, praising the Lord, loving God, going to church, serving the Lord, reading the Bible. Devil can't, I see him, but he can't see me. Did y'all want me to do the dance, the can't touch me dance? No. It's like Ephesians 2 verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. This word with connects us. We were made alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he's raised us up together. Wait a second. He raised us up together with Christ. And then it says, and made us sit together in the heavenly places. You're dead with Christ, you rose with Christ, you're raised with Christ, and you're seated with Christ. Legally, spiritually, you're seated with him in heaven. On his lap, so to speak. That changes everything. Wait a minute, I'm already a conqueror, I'm already a victor, I'm already seated with the Lord? Kind of changes everything. Everything else becomes minute. Everything else is minimized. I'm not afraid of anything because I'm way taller. You're going to have to get that in your soul somehow so you're not so afraid of this earth. You got to get that in your soul so your God is bigger than all your troubles. Listen, you need to get that in your soul so that you can ask God in prayer for, let's say, a job, and you know he will give it to you because you're way higher than any kind of lack in the earth. The theme throughout the Bible is that if you walk with God, you have no lack. So if you recognize lack, the problem is your soul doesn't understand that you're seated. Simple as that. Now that takes I mean, it could take months, years to understand that, but that's the goal for you and I is to understand this Bible, to learn. So what happens now? What happens? You're supposed to learn. You get saved, you're supposed to learn. We believe in Jesus getting raised from the dead. Glory to God. You can be saved, and now you got to learn. Jesus said, learn of me. He said, learn of me. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Learn of me. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You got to continue in the word. And then he said, and you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Wow. That's not just some little memorized, you know, rhyme or something the world says or some joke. That's reality. If you'll know the truth of God's word, you'll get set free from your depression. There is no reason for Christians to be under depression. No way, no way. Every single person in here can be freed from depression. I'm telling you, every single person in here can be freed from depression or hopelessness or whatever mental thing is dogging your life. Every one of us, he made us free. Learn the truth. Come get prayed for. You know, the Bible says, James 5, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. That's why next Sunday we're going to have a special healing and deliverance service to help people get free. Today at the end of service, we'll have a time you can come get prayed for, and you can get free today. And so you have to decide, is it for me? Is this real for me? You got to make the decision. And if you make the decision, God will answer. He'll honor. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So I would say learn and then decide to go ahead and be God's friend. Decide to be God's friend. You know, you need to make a commitment to realize the old you, the sinner you, can be described as pride, selfish, and greedy. Prideful, selfish, and greedy. The nature of a sinner is selfish and greedy and prideful. So when you get born again and you get raised with Christ, you become not that. All of a sudden your pride is gone. All of a sudden your selfishness is gone. All of a sudden you're not so greedy anymore. The nature of a Christian is different. You need to recognize that because pride will keep sinners from getting saved. Pride and self-focus will keep sinners from getting saved. And pride will keep Christians from fulfilling the call. Pride will keep Christians stuck even though they believe they can't, if they don't let self die, they'll never fulfill the call of God. They'll stumble, they'll get offended, they'll mess up everything. And God resists the proud. So you're going to have to recognize the difference between a life without God and a life in Christ, identifying with him. He'll give you power over your pride if you'll let him. How many humble people do we have in here? Don't raise your hand. That's a trick. I'm humble. I know I'm humble. I learned that lesson when I was a sinner. Somebody was talking about being prideful or humble. I thought, I'm pretty humble. And they're like, you know, the preacher just said if you say that. I thought, yeah, probably right. If you learn the right things, it'll change your perspective on life and God. Okay? If you learn the Bible, it'll change everything. You'll stop saying wrong things that really aren't in the Bible. Stuff like, I believe everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. People say some of these things. They try to attribute all events in the earth to God. Well, if it happened, God wanted it. I believe it happened for a reason. He had a reason to make that happen or let that happen. Well, if you read the Bible, that's not what you find. But you got to know that, or you won't know when to run to God or when to run from him. Listen, if you think God caused your problem, why would you run to him? No. You need to know God is good. You need to know that he was not the causer of your tragedy or your suffering so that you can run to him and he'll help you. He's not both the causer and the helper. He's not the troublemaker and the repairer. No, he's only the repairer. He's not Jekyll and Hyde. He's not bad one day and good the next day and but you got to know that it's in the Bible. You got to know that demons are the cause of a lot of people's problems. Matter of fact, all weird behavior that you see in people or yourself is somehow demon-driven. Influenced at least somehow. Weird stuff. When you can't, it's like, that is so weird. It's the devil. You need to recognize so that, number one, you can resist the demon. Say, get out of here. I ain't going to act weird. You lose your temper and just so crazy. Oh, no. Out. Get out. Not doing that. You need to know that that's how the devil will work with people. Lots to learn so that you can be free and stay free in the earth. If you understand some of the other things in the Bible, you'd be free from a lot of stuff. And you'd be able to avoid a lot of stuff. All the New Age religion out there, all the spiritualism that has nothing to do with God, astrology, you'd never read your horoscope again if you'd read your Bible a couple times. You wouldn't. You would think, you know what? That is such an abomination, even though it's goofy. I'm not even going to pretend. Crystals, all the stuff people dabble in, all the symbols, all the weirdness. No. Not if you're with God. You're completely different. You abstain from all appearance of those things. But you got to know that. You got to hang around some Christians. You got to read your Bible so that you can know and be safe. You wouldn't be so afraid of so many things in life if you learned that greater is He that's in you. Look at 1 John chapter 5 here, verse 14. 1 John 5. We're just kind of let me just show you how to put some of this to practice in case you've never done it. Now that we know we're risen with Christ, resurrection power. Paul said this. He said, we didn't read that, did we? Philippians 3. He said, you know what? He was talking about himself, and he said, you know what? I'm gonna throw away everything that's natural about me and call it rubbish. All of my own righteousness, all of my own good deeds, I'm gonna count that as nothing that I may win Christ. And he said, all I want to do is I want to know the power of His resurrection. He said, I want to know the power of His resurrection. What do you mean you want to know it? It takes time to know it. It takes time to learn it because it's a spiritual thing. It's a lifetime of your spirit grasping the truth of His power. And then he said, the fellowship of His sufferings. He wanted to identify with Christ. He wanted to understand the reality of Christ within. And so that should be our pursuit as well. But notice here, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Very simple prayer principle. Did you see the truth of these words? Okay, if we ask anything according to His will, okay, what happens if we ask it according to His will? He hears us. This is just simple prayer 101 scripture. So if we ask according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we have the petition that we asked. It's like that's an easy way to get your prayer answered, right? Now some have mistook that scripture and said, okay, what that means is since nobody knows God's will, He can do whatever He wants, then at the end of the prayer, we say, God, will You do X, Y, Z? If it's Your will, amen. Like, we don't know if it's His will, so we just throw that in there to see maybe if He'll answer. That's not the right way to look at that. When the Bible says, if we ask according to His will, according to means it's referring to something previous. According to a court case, according to what the bank said, according to what Bill said, according to what the weatherman said, according to what it's referring to something somebody said. It's referring to something previously established. Isn't that true? So you need to, if we pray according to what God's already said, then He hears us. If we pray according to His will, which has already been established, anything we ask according to His will, what's His will? How would you know His will? It's right here. You can know God's will by reading His word. Because He said these words, they got printed on, somebody wrote these words, now they're printed. If He said it, that's His will. Any covenant promise is His will. So all you got to do is pray according to the word, find a scripture, pray according to that. He heard you, you got it. It's really that simple. But it applies to every aspect of your life. If you can find his will, which is his word, and pray it, you got it. If he says in here that he will take care of your finances, he doesn't say that exactly. He says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He'll supply all your need. Ooh, okay, God, I ask you to supply this particular need. Bam. He heard you and you got it. I don't know if it's that easy. It's that easy. And you start learning it and trying it, meaning go ahead and step out in faith and do this. I learned this about healing, and I had been studying the Bible and getting excited about the truth, and I believed in my mind that God would heal me, and I had gotten healed a couple times, but then I realized one day, you know what? I've always had allergies. All my life I had allergies. From a kid I had allergies. Had to take allergy pills all my life, even elementary school, middle school, high school, college, taking allergy pills. Always having a safety allergy pill in my pocket, just in case, especially in the spring and the fall. Always lived with allergies. It was a crutch. I mean, all my friends knew that I'm always blowing my nose everywhere. And then I remember I was in this corporate apartment. I was in my secular job, business world. And I was in Atlanta, and I'm walking through my apartment, and it dawned on me, wait a second. By stripes, I'm healed. That allergies would be, I could be healed of allergies. Sure, surely that falls under the category of sickness. And I thought, you know what? Nobody was there to enjoy this with me. It was just me. I'm like, I can be healed of allergies. No problem. So I went and got my allergy medicine, and I threw it in the trash can. I'm like, that's it. I'm healed of allergies. By stripes, I'm healed of allergies. I remember I did not even pray. I just acted on the truth. I knew his will, and I walked off thanking him. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I got healed of allergies. So 26 years, allergies, or however long, whenever it started. 26 years old, now no more allergies. I've been healed of allergies ever since. How? Because I knew God's will. Once you know God's will, you step into that, and you got it. Once you know his will is for you to have some power in your life, you can have that. Once you know his will is so that you never walk with fear again, you'll never be scared again. Pick your most insignificant fear and beat it. And then work toward the biggest fear. Amen? If you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. You believe that?
Yes.
If you don't believe it, you better take it up with him because he said it.
Right.
Praise the Lord. You can apply this to your prayer life. Hey, if you can get close to God and learn some things, you'll have a better prayer life. You'll pray as if God is your friend, as if you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Like rather than, hey, Heavenly Father, it'll be like, hi, Father. What shall we do today? You can hear his voice. If you'll start learning of him, you'll hear his voice. This is what Jesus died for. He died to pay for your sin so the Spirit could come and live inside you so that you could call God Father. Until the Spirit lived in you, you couldn't call God Father. He put the Spirit of adoption in you whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. He wanted to put his Spirit in you so you would have a Heavenly Father and then you could have a relationship with God the rest of your life. Isn't that beautiful? So there's a purpose behind all this. It's not just for a ticket to heaven. The event happened so that you could identify with that event, so that you could partake of all that he purchased for you. We have rights and privileges in Christ, and it's glorious. So all you need to do is just say yes to it, jump into it, lift your hands up, dance around, and thank God for it. Is anybody excited about the resurrection of Christ? Hallelujah. He does love you. He does love you. He loves every one of us. He loves you enough to help you in whatever you're in. Whatever you need, he's ready. But he doesn't help based on only need. If he helped people based on need, nobody would be starving around the world. There'd be no sick people, no hospitals would ever need to be built. He doesn't do good things to people because they need it. He does it because they ask him in faith. He does it because they come expecting him to help. It's just the way this faith life works. You have to hear the truth, believe the truth, and come get the truth, basically. Come get the answer. Same thing with salvation. He wants everybody saved. God wants everybody in the whole wide world to receive his son. But they're not saved until somebody tells them the truth, until they believe the truth, until they respond to the truth, until they ask God to save them and confess Christ as Lord, then they're saved. It's just the way he's done it. He makes you and I listen, hear, believe, and then ask and receive.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.